Hey, this is Greg Dulcich. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com, use promo code ROSTER, get up to $100 in deposit bonus. Deposit. This is early to be doing these reads with no.
I hear you, man.
Let me start that over. You hear our guest, Nate Hamilton here. Let me start that over about Underdog. Go to Underdog Fantasy, get a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code ROSTER. Again, that's a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code ROSTER. Joining me today, a great friend of the show. He's been on the show before. You've seen him, you know him, you love him. His name is Nate Hamilton. You can find him on Twitter at DominateFF. He's now the editor at gambling.com. So I asked, right. I asked him before, man. Nate, good to see you, brother.
Yeah,
you're officially a gambler now? Official fantasy player? Is that the
deal? Yeah. I'm getting into odds and all that fun stuff. Because I'm into fantasy football, I had already been doing like prop bets and stuff because it's very, you know, in line with fantasy football. But now I'm really getting into, you know, Heisman odds, and, you know, I'm branching out a bit more so than just fantasy this year. So it's I'm excited.
Well, I want to talk to you about some of these season long props on some of these players. We have the season long props tool up at Roster Watch. Maybe we'll get whether you like the over, the under on some of these guys that I'll read off to you. But dude, I think that the news of the day, the main thing that we got to hit on before I get you out of here, we got to hear Nate's take on Julio Jones to Tampa Bay. And I'll preface it by saying that, you know, this was something on the radio show I talked about last night, or I guess the night before last. You know, we're just now holding out. We were just then holding out, saying, like, you know, it's going to be any day now that Julio signs somewhere, that Will Fuller signs somewhere. Before we talk about Julio, just what do you think though about Will Fuller? Like, do you think he's going to sign anywhere? It's been really weird on that end, right? Like, they've come straight out and asked, like, the brass at Cleveland whether or not they've been interested. They've said no on record. It feels like the Green Bay Packers have sort of taken a similar stance. That was a popular destination that people were kind of sending him to. Do you think that Will Fuller? I mean, I guess just the other day we were worried about Julio Jones being done. I mean, do you think that Will Fuller's done?
Well, I think that's the thing, is they're both pretty similar, right? Where they've had, you know, they're getting older. You know, Will Fuller's obviously a little bit younger than Julio. But as far as injuries go, they're just like, their bodies have aged tremendously because they've been injured so much the last few years. And if Julio Jones' name was Will Fuller, he wouldn't be on a roster right now. So I think what it would take is a significant amount of injuries to somebody's wide receiver core before Will Fuller is even considered. Julio Jones to Tampa, I mean, obviously anybody playing with Tom Brady, you're going to love that. But that's such a crowded wide receiver group they have there. And if anything, from a fantasy perspective, what it does for me is damper a little bit the expectations that a lot of us had for a late round wide receiver in Russell Gage. So I think they're just going to eat into each other's work, but you don't have to worry about Chris Godwin and Mike Evans being the top guys there.
Russell Gage, he had gotten to where he wasn't such a late round guy recently either, right? It's like, I remember the good old days when you could get Russell Gage in the, you know, 11th round of these drafts. I just wanted to pull it up on Underdog and see what his ADP is now up to here. Let's see.
Yeah, he was like a favorite late round wide receiver, which now, because of the Julio signing, I think it'll remain that way. I think his ADP started to rise, and what's going to happen now that Julio's there is you'll be able to get Russell Gage at a value again.
71.6 is what current ADP on Underdog. And then let's just see how that relates to redraft. So redraft right now, just half point PPR. If we look at the expert consensus over on Fantasy Pros, we know how managed leagues are just so much different than these other ones. So yeah, so 71.6, that's not even still early, but I mean, we're talking 72 is the end of the seventh round. So that's the end of the seventh round in Underdog. And he's going at the middle of the ninth in redraft. So it looks like, you know, maybe the redraft players who hadn't bought in so heavily to this idea that, you know, Chris Godwin was. And here's the thing, dude. It's, I mean, people had just bought into the idea that Chris Godwin was going to miss a substantial amount of time. That was a late season injury, I believe, December 19th of last year. And all the Twitter doctors, including Dr. David Chow, who's the best of all of them, say that he's not going to be effective for the first half of the season. It was almost assured he was going to start out on IR, but he dodged the active pup. Like,
yeah, I mean, exactly. So he looks like he's ready to go early on. There may be some concern there from the organization, which may be the reason why they brought Julio Jones on. But again, you know, you're talking Julio Jones, even though he's past his prime, you know, Tom Brady can make anybody look good. So, but going back to that wide receiver core, though, Breshad Perriman, I believe, is still on that roster.
I think so.
And he connected with Tom Brady for a bit, too. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But as far as, like, for fantasy purposes, I'm not sure I'm going to reach for Julio Jones at this stage of his career.
Yeah, where do you think his ADP is going to settle in? I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I added him on the cheat sheet on the spot where we're not going to get him. You know, we're not going to get him because I tweeted this out last night. Like his player profiler page over player profiler. If you look at the injury section where they have like the little robot injury guys, we can see kind of where they've been injured on their body. Dude, for one, he looks like a cyborg. And for two, it's like the long cat of injury lists. It's unbelievable. It's like this thing goes back to 2011. I mean, a foot fracture in the fifth metatarsal, a hamstring strain, a back strain, an ankle strain, a thumb contusion, a quad strain, a hand contusion, an ankle sprain, a knee strain, another foot fracture of the fifth metatarsal. This time missed 11 weeks, an ankle sprain, a hip strain. We're only up to the year 2014, Nate.
Yeah,
this is unbelievable. A hamstring strain, a toe contusion, a knee contusion, an ankle strain. We're still in 2016. A calf strain, a toe sprain, a calf strain, a hip flexor strain, a shoulder sprain, a hamstring strain, and then just coming into last year, the leg injury to start training camp, and then the hamstring strain that put him on IR in that season. So it's like last season, Julio didn't look like Julio. And I was saying that in our group text, and my co-partners, you know, Trashman and Byron were saying, they're like, well, he was injured last year. I'm like, yeah, well, fuck, of course he's fucking always injured. Like,
I just read a strain or a sprain, right?
Yeah. So I read off this whole list, but yeah. I mean, Nate, like when you think about this with Julio and you think about this with Godwin and you realize that maybe Gage is being somewhat diminished. There was talk about Cameron Brate, with no Rob Gronkowski, if he could be able to step up in a red zone role. Then that got completely blown to smithereens once they brought in Kyle Rudolph. And then people were like, well, Rudolph, that could be interesting. You remember him as Rudolph, the red zone reindeer from his time, mainly from his time in Minnesota, but of course comes down from New York where he's been most recently. This has effects on everybody. Yeah. And it feels like the whole thin tight end stuff has been obliterated. It feels like any talk of Mike Evans possibly being above players who are sort of in these new situations or in these sort of, you know, interesting situations. Like I feel like before the Godwin stuff and before the Julio stuff that you could have made a case to take Mike Evans over Davante Adams in what is a new role with him competing with Hunter Renfrow, him competing with Darren Waller, him not being just the number one focus right. of his quarterback this year. I mean, I'm not sure I love the case, but you could have at least made that case.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't be laughed off the stage for saying something like that.
You could have been laughed off the stage for saying that you like Mike Evans over Tyreek Hill, who's going to a new quarterback. And we're not sure is any good. Exactly. You know, he's got Jalen Waddle to deal with. You could make a case for him over Deebo Samuel, who's not going to score another 9 rushing touchdowns this year, especially with a rushing quarterback like Trey Lance. I wonder, like, what do you think now about Mike Evans? Were you high on him? And then sort of where do you see him now vis-a-vis all those guys? I mean, it feels like we got to be taking Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, probably Deebo at this point, all over Mike Evans. Where is the – do you feel the same way? And then, like, sort of where – I mean, do you get to the Keenan Allens of the world or the Michael Pittmans of the world?
That's the thing. I'm not that worried about Mike Evans, especially with Gronk. Gronk's really not coming back, and I've watched a couple of interviews with him, I'm starting to believe he's not.
No, he ain't coming back. I totally buy what you like, whatever you want, because I agree with you, Nate. Like, you got to watch the interviews, and you can see, like, he doesn't feel like he's feeling it. Like, you could tell before he still has a little sneaky shimmer in his eye when he talks about football.
No, now he laughs it off for real. Yeah. Like, he's genuinely like, no, I'm good. Cause he is doing other business ventures and things like that. So good for him. His body's taken too many hits over the years. And, you know, for a big guy like that, it's going to wear on you. So he's making the right move. However, you know, prior to that decision, he was the biggest threat in the red zone to take away from Mike Evans. Right. So without him there, I think Mike Evans even moves up just a little bit for me. Julio Jones obviously could become a red zone target for Brady. But again, you just listed off the amount of injuries he's had over the years and why he's at the tail end of his career. Mike Evans is not there yet. Mike Evans still the guy for Brady. So I have him right now as a wide receiver 9, and I'm not going to move him.
The 2022 Roster Watch Cheat Sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever is back, only at rosterwatch.com. Winning fantasy players don't use outdated magazines or expensive draft software that's impossible to navigate. The Roster Watch Cheat Sheet. All you have to do is follow the 3 simple rules. That's it. 3 rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Cheat Sheet. An expert quality draft is always guaranteed. The Roster Watch Cheat Sheet. It's only at rosterwatch.com. Mike Evans is wide receiver 9. So do you have – but okay. So you have him above – so basically all the guys I mentioned, you have Devontae Adams above him, you have Tyreek Hill above him, and you have Deebo Samuel above him. But you have Mike Evans ahead of Keenan Allen. And Michael Correct. Pittman and stuff like AJ yes. Brown, T. Higgins.
Yeah, but they're all close. All those guys you just mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I get it. Yeah. And dude, it's funny. It's like clearly, I hadn't talked to you about this, but that's exactly where I landed. Like, nice. I did have Evans up higher though. I had Evans up higher. I mean, I made the case that he's got to be up at least over Tyreek Hill, and I feel like with the Devontae Adams, it was like right there. You know, I feel like you could go either way when you were faced with that pick. I don't feel that same way anymore. What about at the running back spot? Leonard Fournette, you know, showed up fat. He did look bad. But,
yeah.
You know, but the reports came back yesterday. Rick Stroud reported that his official weight reporting back to camp was 245. That falls exactly in line with what his trainer was saying, that he had gotten down into the mid to low 240s. He was expecting to be in the 230s by the time the football started, and that's where he's played for these last couple years. Even though he's been listed at 228, he's played it more close to 235 to 238. Are you okay with Leonard Fournette? My take is, you know, and people who've listened to the pod or listened to the radio show, they know I love Rashad White. We've been talking Rashad White up ever since we saw him at the Senior Bowl. I just don't know how much Tom Brady's going to trust a rookie.
That's the thing. See, with Tom Brady, he loves his veterans, right? And he's won a Super Bowl with Leonard Fournette. So I think that's going to be his automatic go-to no matter what. And as you said, Fournette's already a bigger running back, right? 238 is where he's typically at. If he's at 245 now, that's 7 pounds between now and even the preseason, preseason game start. So Leonard Fournette, to me, I am not worried about it. If anything, his social media presence is what has me not worried, because if he just kind of sat back and allowed everyone to talk about that and didn't say anything, then I'd be like, wow, he's not even defending himself, because there is a real issue there. But he just tweeted out recently, like a picture of himself, like his face over some bigger guy, and said, that's me reporting the, you know, training camp. So he's even laughing it off, that he thinks it's funny that people are even making a big deal about it. So no, for me, I'm not, at least this year, I'm not worried about Leonard Fournette being overtaken by, you know, a rookie, you know, to going into this season. There's no way.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point, Nate, because you said that basically what I heard you say is that if he was self-conscious or worried about this stuff, he wouldn't be clowning on himself in public. He wouldn't right. be this self like whatever you're legit kind of worried about something, or it kind of eats at you, or like you know, like you're not going to be bringing it up. You're going to be trying to distance yourself from any talk of that kind
Correct.
Of stuff. So yeah, that makes plenty of sense to me. So, you know, some of the other news as far as these guys, not, you know, definitely not as lighthearted, I guess, of news as Leonard Fournette being fat, is Chris Carson's got a busted neck. He's done playing football. So we wish him all the best of luck. He's, you know, he's a guy, like, he's actually a really good guy. Like, we know his agent. I feel really bad. He was really hoping he would be able to make it back. But he's not going to be able to. I think his neck is just beyond messed up.
It's too bad. He's honestly one of my favorite running backs to watch, and he's 27 years old. He's a young guy. You know, this has got to be devastating for him. And you know, I picked him at the 20th round of the Scott Fish Bowl.
There goes that.
You know, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to hold on to him though. You know, for a couple of weeks, I think, and just in case because. Yeah. You know, I did read something where they had done this with other players just so that they were able to get their money and their guaranteed money or their bonuses or whatnot for someone who had. So retiring was actually the smart thing for Chris Carson to do to ensure that he did get the money that was owed to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there is still hope that if by some miracle, you know, things shape up for him, that we could see him on the field again. I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, a guy like Chris Carson, man, he was just fun to watch, and it's just too bad that's what happened.
By some miracle, you mean Rashad Penny or Kenneth Walker getting hurt? Like, what no, kind of miracle are you hoping for here, Nate?
No, I wouldn't think that. It's all about Chris Carson. So right, if Chris right. Carson is healthy enough to be on the field, then he'll get a shot to be on the field. I don't think it's going to take an injury to drag him out of retirement. I think it's all about him.
Okay, so let me just ask you this. This was something in another – just this time of year, dude, and I know you probably have this kind of stuff with your coworkers too, but it's like I was texting with Trashman and Byron yesterday about how this clump of running backs that involve this kind of – these eighth-round running backs, right, kind of involve Rashad Penny, they involve Kenneth Walker – they involve guys like Kareem Hunt and Cordarrelle Patterson, Damian Harris, Melvin Gordon. That's the eighth-ish round area, eighth, early ninth round, is a spot. Tony Pollard's in there.
Yeah.
That's a place where you can pick off a lot of these guys, especially if you start, you know, really heavy at wide receiver. You go kind of early tight end. You go with the Kelsey or an Andrews or something like that. Or if, you know, you're in a super flex league and you just get, you know, you pick off two quarterbacks right off the bat and you start out with one of these, you know, one of these anchor running backs, like a, you know, like a Cam Akers or something,
right,
you know,
right.
like this a little bit lower down the totem pole.
Of course.
These are the kind of guys you can round out some of your depth with. Are there any, like, what do you think that this means for Rashad Penny and for Kenneth Walker specifically? And then do you have any general overall takes about any of those guys in that area that we discussed, the Rashad Penny, Kenneth Walker, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Cordarrelle, Tony Pollard, any of those guys who you're either higher on or lower on than the consensus might be?
So the tier you just discussed, even though he's not the lead guy, it's still Melvin Gordon for me, who's above all those guys. You know, everyone wants to write him off because of the young guys there. And they are going – if they, there's a reason why they kept him on the roster. They signed him again to another year. He's young still. He still showed that he can be a dominant force on the field, whether, you know, it's alone or with Javonte Williams, you know, next to him. So, you know, they're very similar to the Cleveland Browns with, you know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But Melvin Gordon, to me, deserves to be, you know, above the tier that we just mentioned, but that's where he's going. So to me, he's the biggest value in that group that you discussed. Talking about Rashard Penny and Kenneth Walker, Pete Carroll has talked about how much he loves Rashard Penny. Like, he's just, he hasn't been, you know, quiet about it. And looking at their quarterback situation, we know they're going to lean heavily on the run game. They did it with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So whether it's Geno Smith or Drew Lock, that run game, they're going to get plenty of work. So, you know, you're going to be able to get Kenneth Walker later in redraft, you know, drafts than Rashard Penny. So if you want to wait, I think Kenneth Walker is going to see a good amount of work. You know, I don't know if it's going to be 50-50. I don't think it will be. I think Rashard Penny's still going to be the guy, at least to start the season. But if Kenneth Walker, he's in a great situation now with Chris Carson out of the picture, where he can outshine Rashard Penny and start taking, you know, carries away from him as the season goes on.
Yeah, people are forgetting how good Kenny Walker is. I mean, it's just like, yeah. I mean, I've been guilty of forgetting how good Kenny Walker is, just because this whole, after he got drafted by Seattle, it felt like such a bummer. It's like, oh man, is this going right. to really like, but you know, he's like, you go back and you watch that last season of college, watch the tape, and you remember, man, as far as a pure runner, he's one of the best. He's literally one of the best that we've seen in the last, you know, half a decade or so. So,
certainly can't ask for a better position than what he's in right now, especially as a rookie. He's on a team where, as I said, very focused on running this season, and their top guy just retired. So, yeah, he's in a great spot.
And let's not forget, Nate, I mean, dude, this was a team. I mean, yeah, they love Rashad Penny for what he did down the stretch that this year. But you got to remember, this is a team that was disenfranchised with Rashad Penny. They didn't even exercise their fifth year option on him before last season. Now imagine how they want to kick themselves in the nuts over that now. All right. And then one other thing. Before I let you go here, again, we're on with Nate Hamilton. We appreciate him taking some time so early here this morning before he's got to hop into another meeting. Mr. Big Shot editor over at gambling.com. You can find him on Twitter at DominateFF. I figured while we're here, just the last thing I'll ask you, Nate, because, dude, James Robinson dodging the pup, I felt like was big news. How does this make you feel about Travis Etienne? Because he was a guy who, if I could get him in the fifth round of drafts, I was taking that, putting it in the bank. I've been banking on that for best ball dating back to March. So, honestly, I'm not too thrilled about that now. I'm a little bit worried. So talk about Etienne. And also, if you could, I'd also just want to hear your take. I mean, we just need to discuss James Robinson. Like, where does he go? Is he going to be available to play? I've kind of settled in on James Robinson sort of being in, but definitely below that tier that we just discussed, right? Yeah. Not with those guys. But then after you get down closer to the dudes who are going, like, where the Buffalo guys are going, who you don't really know where James Cook or, you know, Devin Singletary, how this thing's going to pan out. I would certainly side with the James Cook side of that thing. For guys sure. like Michael Carter up for the Jets now that of course, Breece Hall is there. You know, Ramondre Stevenson's picking up some steam, but he's kind of in – I kind of see James Robinson kind of squeezing into that area, maybe a little bit below that tier we talked about, a little bit below maybe the Miles Sanderses and the Chase Edmondses of the world, but kind of right in that pocket. What do you think about Etienne, and what do you see about James Robinson, about where you'll be, you know, interested in actually targeting that guy?
Sure. I mean, I think James Robinson, for me, is going to be a great value. We've seen how dominant he can be in the full-time role, right? And it worked. It just worked for the Jaguars. I mean, obviously, they don't win a lot of games anyway. But there is more concern than usual for me out of a young running back when it comes to Travis Etienne, because, you know, they drafted Trevor Lawrence's teammate, you know, so it's like back to back, they drafted, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and then they went ahead to make him feel comfortable and drafted his teammate in the backfield. And, you know, all intents and purposes, I think what happened is, you know, because of the injury, Etienne was redshirted, right? We could basically say he was redshirted his first season. So, but now he's sat on the sidelines watching and studying the, you know, playbook. And I think he's going to be very heavily involved, which is going to hurt James Robinson, no doubt about it, because there's no way we're going to see the same workload out of Robinson as we have in the past with Etienne there. Especially if, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Etienne have that chemistry, they're going to want to keep him on the field as much as possible. But I do believe for where you're drafting James Robinson, it's a low risk, high reward situation, because who knows, something else could happen to Etienne again. And it could just end up being one of those types of careers for a guy like that, where, you know, everyone's so anticipated on what's going to happen, if he's going to come in and just have an effect, and then he goes down with an injury. And, you know, we're always talking about who's behind that guy. So for me, James Robinson's still worth the pick, you know, especially for where he's going. He's going late. And Etienne, he's another upside guy. But for me, I think he might be going a little too early than I'm more comfortable taking him.